internet, and welcome to a special episode of the Tadpog Podcast.
We need some reverb behind that.
Hello, hello, internet. It's typically a weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I own every episode, actually on DVD, of Friends, Frasier, Everybody Loves Raymond, Gilmore Girls, King of Queens, Will and Grace, and Seinfeld. Because my favorite thing in culinary school when I wasn't cooking was playing Final Fantasy XI and watching sitcoms. I would fish in Final Fantasy XI because my schedule, 8 hours of, like 8 hours of sleeping, 8 hours of class and classwork,
yeah,
8 hours of Final Fantasy XI every day for 2 years.
I kind of wish you'd watch fishing while you fished in Final Fantasy. See if any of it translates.
It would not.
If anyone listening has played Final Fantasy XI, I think you should brag a little bit.
It took me a whole semester of culinary school, which is 12 weeks plus a two-week break, so 14 weeks of fishing my max every day to get my Liu Shang's fishing rod to catch 10,000 fish. That's a specific kind of fish. Not every cast was this fish.
Moat carp,
yes.
That's a pretty impressive feat indeed, sir. I'm your bespectacled host. I still get to talk in the special episode, believe it or not. This explains a lot about me, I guess, and how I turned out. But when I was young, the duplex we lived in had a flight of stairs, which had two 90-degree turns. And one of my favorite things to do was get in my sleeping bag and roll down the stairs.
I dig that.
What we normally do on this show is we normally talk about a Super Nintendo game, because what we're doing is going through IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games and muse about our experiences on this very show. But
Not this week. This week, but
Wednesday. Yeah, it's kind of funny. We do this show and we never really say when the episodes come out, because we just assume that people get the episodes when they come out.
But you just see them in your iTunes, yeah, or whenever our Facebook group's like, hey, episode's out today.
Oh, it's time. But yeah, we normally publish the episodes on Wednesday, and you are getting this probably on, I don't know, say Friday.
Friday. Aim for that.
Maybe,
yeah. So it's a completely bonus episode. If you listen to Tadpog for the Super Nintendo games, we're not disrupting that at all.
Right.
It's just bonus. If you want to listen to it, comes out on a Friday, give it a listen.
This is extra free.
Yeah. If you don't like it, we will only be mildly offended if you don't listen to it. And that's not worth much.
Can we say we're doing this because people send us games?
Yeah.
So we give the listeners incentives to send us more games.
That's true. Right? Yeah. The bonus, the special bonus episodes for people who want us to play stuff that still fits in. If it could feasibly have been run on a Super Nintendo.
Oh, are we doing that?
Roundaboutly.
I feel like you're baiting us in a corner a little bit.
If it's a medium retro game.
Because that means we'll never be able to do like Bioshock Infinite or anything like that.
Wow. Well, that would be like a double special episode.
Okay.
Special episodes are fit that 16-bit
right
feeling, and then special episodes can be any game at all.
Mega special episode.
Mega special.
Super special.
And then Nega Special is something entirely different.
Nega Special's dark episode.
Yeah. That's when our pets actually die and we decide to have an episode to talk about it.
Our pets die, we play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Noir, and then come on the show and talk about Pokemon Black.
That'll be a show that we'll send to Louis C.K. and be like, hey, we were really depressed, made this show. We hope it makes you laugh. We know you like shit like this.
So what are we talking about tonight? Today? Whenever you're listening.
We are talking about Dokutsu Monosatari. Monogatari? It's Japanese.
I don't think I played that.
Or English Cave Story.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 I played that a long time ago.
You told me about it, and it took me a long ass time to play it, but I got to it.
What's funny is I think you told me about it, and then I played it, and then I told you about it on the show, and then so you finally beat it in, what, a couple weeks ago?
About a month ago.
So we'll talk about Cave Story, and then maybe we'll get to the other games that we have said we're going to do special episodes on, which is what? We got like FTL.
Yep. I guess we have
3D Dot Heroes.
What's the one? Eveland. ELS and Eveland. Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch. We've mentioned a whole bunch.
Yeah. There'll be plenty of Friday specials. Well, tentative Fridays.
Right.
It may just be whenever the fuck we get to it and put them out, because they're bonus episodes.
So what's the Japanese title?
Dokutsu Monogatari.
Okay.
Tell it me might a be bit Monosatari. I can't see if that's a G or an S on my notes. But
I hope the translation is actually something completely different. Like, I hope that the Japanese name of the game is like Rabbit's Carrots.
But you've played Cave Story. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. Tell me about Cave Story. Because honestly, I've played it so long ago that I can't remember a whole lot other than I enjoyed it.
Because Cave Story is a... It's been updated, so I'd say it's a retro platformer shooter.
Yeah.
Side-scroller.
Uh-huh.
Where you are a former military robot.
Spoiler.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I know you're a robot.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No.
It's like right off they tell you you're a robot.
Really? I missed that.
Yeah, like Curly addresses you as a robot like for like the first time you meet her.
Yeah, but...
Or they talk about, oh, you're one of those robots from the surface, like when you talk to the Mamigi in their village.
Okay.
You don't know why you might be at this place.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to spoil that.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, you're a robot.
And I still think it's a spoiler, but it's an early spoiler.
They can send me bonus hate mail.
Because I remember when I got to that point in the game, which you're right, it is near the beginning, but still I was like, wait, what? Because you don't look like a robot. You essentially look like Ash from Pokemon.
Yeah, you do. You look like Ash from Pokemon with sort of, you've got things on your ears.
Yeah, I just figured it was like, I don't know, some kind of...
Something for your hat.
Some kind of like Bluetooth device or some shit.
You always communicate with people other places, so yeah, maybe you're a guy with two Bluetooth. You're that douchebag.
All right, so we're a robot. We're chilling out. What's your deal?
And your name is Quote, which I didn't know that until I was doing research in the background of the game.
Yeah, I don't think... Are you ever addressed by name?
Nope.
No.
But yeah, it is a platformer shooter. Wonderful. Wonderful. Spoiler is wonderful. I think I've compared it to butter before. It's a good analogy if you like butter.
Yeah. What if you don't like butter?
Then you just know that it's wonderful.
It warms my heart to look across this table and just see the joy in your eyes for once talking about a game after all the stunt race effects and the sparksters we've gone through.
But yeah, this absolutely draws like a lot of inspiration from classic Metroid, Castlevania, Gunstar Heroes. Like it falls squarely in that niche, although it plays much smoother than all of those.
Yeah. The one thing I was a little... God, I don't want to use the word disappointed because I wasn't disappointed at all in this game, but I was expecting there to be more exploration than there was.
That's true. That would have been nice.
Before I played it, I'd heard that it was a, you know, a Metroidvania game, and that to me invokes a feeling of it's a gigantic world.
A massive map that you constantly explore every...
Right.
Want to make all of it appear on your map screen kind of thing, yeah.
Which isn't really the case, but it plays a lot like those games. It's just not a lot of exploration.
Yeah, and there's not really a quick way to get between the areas. So if you want to go to exploring or get side things, it's a trek.
Right. But this game was made by one guy, right?
It's a small team of weird people or just one guy, one weird guy.
Because I think it's Studio Pixel?
Studio Pixel.
Which I'm convinced is one guy, but I can't find... Okay, granted, I haven't really looked beyond his webpage, which is hilarious. I don't even know if I'll do show notes for special episodes, but if there's show notes, I'll put a link there. My favorite is probably the stick figure with breasts, so...
But it's, you start off, you're in a cave, you're hearing a transmission from somebody who's stuck somewhere asking for help.
Yeah, the intro is like very confusing, but done in a style, it's like Lost confusing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what the fuck is going on? But instead of turning you off, it's like, man, I'm confused, but I want to figure this out.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're wandering around. You finally find a gun. You find somebody's... You're in a cave. You find somebody's house. They're not home. So you just take their gun that's laying there. And then jumping through the cave, you find a village of anthropomorphic rabbits called the Mamiga.
Right.
And they're all distressed about another Mamiga that they don't know coming into their village. And their hero, the town hero, Arthur... has been like defending her and taking up for her. And then as you do investigations and find out this girl has been taken, but you need to find her. She knows what's going on.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think the Mamiga, I think that was an interesting kind of choice because it gets, this game is, it's really bizarre, but it's like, it's bizarre in the way that I like bizarre. It's not like, it felt like Earthworm Jim bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like Sparkster bizarre.
It's unrepentant in its strangeness. And the game has a very serious tone.
Right.
It's colored very strangely with strange elements and then just deadly serious in all of its story. So it works to where you kind of look, you're shocked at first, but then eventually look past it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's very true, because I remember several times where this game made me feel. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
You get watched. There are many heartbreaking moments, and then, you get the wave of feels rushing over you.
Yeah, there are some
heartbreaking. So many feels.
So many feels. Yeah, you say, I hadn't played it in a while, but you say heartbreaking moments. I know, reminded me of some things.
I've got a GIF that we can post in the show notes for so many feels.
Okay.
So, if there's show notes or just like a blurb of two different, hey, here's some stuff.
Yeah, there'll be a few show notes.
But you have to go find Sue, and you stumble upon there's this evil scientist who has come to the island and acquired an artifact of great power that he is now trying. He's taking Mamiga for his own evil purposes.
Yeah, he's building an army, right?
He's building an army because the Mamiga have a special property. Because they all talk, when you talk to their village, they talk about they don't touch red flowers.
Right.
They refuse to eat red flowers.
Right.
And it turns out that something special, quote unquote special, happens to Mamiga that eats these red flowers that grow on their island.
Right.
You're in a floating island somewhere, or an island somewhere.
Right.
You don't find out much more than that.
Okay. I feel like we're not really going to be able to talk too much about this game without spoiling the shit out of it.
I don't want to spoil that much because it's so good. But
because everything I want to talk about is a spoiler.
Yeah.
Like, that is, beyond a shadow of doubt, everything I want to talk about is a spoiler. Because that's the shit that I really remember from the game.
I mean, I guess if we should talk about, we'll go ahead and give you a spoiler, double spoiler. If you don't want to know that much about Cave Story, go pause this podcast. Go play it real quick. It's not that long. You can get it. You can download it for free. I got it for $1 in a Humble Bundle.
Yeah, as did I.
Or if you got money you just want to spend, it's like $12 on the...
Shit, if you got money you want to spend, I can set up a PayPal donation real quick.
But I use $12 on like the WiiWare store or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it's just fucking ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
But then there's also the 3D version, which I don't know how that functions.
Yeah,
very
me neither.
Well, but there's the Cave Story 3D for 3DS.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. What is that, like a WiiWare as well or whatever? The Nintendo portable?
I don't know if it's the store or an actual like game, but I know it exists. I know it's out there.
Huh.
But all right, let's talk about spoilers. I guess we spoil all the other games we've played.
That's true. So if you haven't played the game, like Tyler said, go play it and then come back. Because it's worth... Seriously, if you listen to our show and you've gotten to this point and you're listening to the special episode, I promise you will like this game. Like, hands down, like if you enjoy retro gaming, especially Super Nintendo era, especially Japanese made Super Nintendo games, you're gonna love this game.
Yeah, if you're a Metroid Castlevania fan. It's not the same as those games, but it's something you would enjoy if you remotely enjoy those
games.
It's
familiar.
Yeah.
So we'll see you later. Go have fun.
All right, welcome back.
Okay,
I'm glad you paused us and played. Now let's talk about this game you just played that was amazing.
All right. Phew, I feel like I can really open up now.
But the Mamiga turn into like abominations.
They
like
Hulk out.
Huge, strong, hulked out Mamiga that it like in some past war that the Mamiga were in, that's how they...
That's alluded to, yeah.
Yeah, that they ate the flowers and turned into this unstoppable army, and that is what the Doctor is trying to do again by kidnapping and enslaving Mamiga. So you have to help stop that.
Right. And I think it's interesting, you talk about in this previous war, it is ridiculous the amount of depth to the backstory of this game.
Yep, and it is... I don't even see how you would discover a whole lot of it.
I know.
So I was sort of going to like fan sites and getting more of the story because the whole demon crown, this artifact that the Doctor finds, it has its own huge backstory. All the other villains, because there's the Doctor, and then he's got his two lackeys that work for him that have their own backstories.
I love them.
Misery and Balrog.
Yeah.
Balrog is very entertaining.
Yes.
I guess he's a giant toaster.
Yeah. When I was playing Cave Story, and every time he'd show up, I can't tell you how many times I was like, man, I haven't seen the Brave Little Toaster in a long time. Like, I kept hoping he was going to reference the electric blanket or something. That was one of them, right?
Yep, the electric blanket, and the vacuum cleaner, the lamp, yep. Yeah.
Was there another?
The radio.
Yeah, the radio.
And the sad, solitary flower.
Yeah.
That's a lot of feels.
We need that. We need the Brave Little Toaster game.
Yeah, yes, we do. I don't know if there is one. You'd think there's one.
I know.
Like some kind of like Disney-ish looking platformer, sort of like the Lion King, only instead it's a toaster walking side to side, jumping over stuff.
We may have to do some research, and if this exists, we may need to get disappointed.
Another special episode.
So yeah, Balrog looks like a giant toaster.
And you have to fight him several times throughout the course of the game.
Yeah, he's a reoccurring villain. And then Misery seems to be...
She's the brains and Balrog is the brawn,
yeah,
of the two lackeys of the Doctor.
She's not a toaster.
No, she is a witch.
Right.
Which I thought she was an evil Mamiga, but looks like she's human, maybe.
Yeah, she's more like a Sabrina teenage witch and less a Wicked Witch of the West. So she's a hot witch is what I'm saying.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
But in your quest to find Sue, save the Mamiga, defeat the Doctor, mm-hmm, you eventually find another robot soldier like yourself named Curly.
Right.
Who has memory damage. So she doesn't... It's alluded to that you know each other from back. You were both military bots.
Right. And other characters even say... Early on in the game, oh, I recognize you. Where's your friend? And it's like, what? I love this game has so much of that, where mm-hmm, it's just like there's so much good writing. They have all these hooks that they throw out way early. And then when you get to them later on in the game, it all kind of clicks. So this mm-hmm, this game has all these moments where you start making realizations, and it's exciting.
No, it's... For a game of its graphics, it's out of that league.
Yeah.
Completely. But you defeat Curly in battle, and then she's a sugary, sweet, very nice character who helps you.
Yeah, you fight her because she's trying to defend, and...
The Mamiga have chosen her to help them.
Right.
So then she realizes after you beat her, like, you're not trying to hurt them, then we should team up. I feel like I can do that with you.
Typical video game / comic book trope.
Naruto, like Naruto and every filler meets the guy who doesn't like anybody, he's got problems, so right. Naruto beats into him, and then they're best friends, like, and the guy dies or something.
It's just a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
It's team up, classic team up.
But then you have the option, as soon as you beat her, she's like, oh, well, hey, do you want to trade guns with me? Because she has a very powerful machine gun. And that's kind of a whole thing about getting secret weapons and side story and stuff in Cave Story, which is something I like the vast majority of it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like that it all relied on you knowing what things to take and what not to take. Because if you want to get...
You're laying knowledge on me.
Yeah, if you want to get... There are lots of weapons in the game. Most of them are predicated on you not getting... some, so then you get others later.
Oh.
And then things with Curly happen, and special items you can get. At one point, as you progress through, you find that the Doctor and Sue were actually part of a team that came to this floating island to do investigations. They're all like a five-person team, and there's one scientist who makes stuff for you. Like, he makes you a jetpack.
Right.
If you don't get the jetpack, way more options in the game open up.
Really?
And it's not like a choice, yes or no. You just have to jump over the scientist when he's sitting there. And then, like, there's no way that you would know this without, like, you beat it and then check, like, the fan site or check a fact and see, oh, well, okay, you can do this. And the whole game changes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah,
the big one predicated on missing that jetpack.
So what do you get?
Well, okay, if you miss the jetpack, which is a very, very useful item.
Oh, yeah.
You can still beat it. I see it'd be frustrating to beat it without the jetpack.
How? Like, how do you get up where you need to go to fight the boss?
The jumps are very difficult, but it can be done.
You can make those jumps. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Or you have to find other places to jump, but it can be done without it. But here's the big spoiler of the game.
Yeah.
As you progress through fighting Mimiga, fighting the doctors, minions, Balrog, eventually you get closer to the core of the island, and you and Curly are together. There's a whole stage where she follows you, and you and her just tear through everything until you get to the boss, which is like the defender of the island, and you have to take it down.
Right.
You and Curly defeat it, and then a defense mechanism happens. The door is shut, and the whole thing floods.
Right.
Curly has something that allows her to breathe underwater, and you don't.
Right.
So whenever you see yourself, you die, and then suddenly you wake up, and you find you have her respirator on, and she's passed out beside you. So she sacrificed herself so that you could keep going.
That's one way of thinking about it. And that's how I thought about it.
Yeah.
When I played. But now hearing you talk about it, I'm beginning to think, maybe, quote, just straight up murdered her.
Well, if you did get the jetpack, a special item appears right before you go into that room called the tow rope.
What?
So then you can tow Curly out of the room.
What?
And save her.
Oh my God, you're blowing my fucking mind, Tyler.
It changes the ending. And then once you save her, you take her somewhere and leave her to recover. And then the person who's taking care of her says, I think I could recover her memories if you did this.
Oh, so
then
that my God.
Yeah, it opens a whole other quest line for you to get a special item that restores her memories. And she remembers you and gives you a special item and things like that.
The fuck, mate?
Yeah, yep. And it's, if she lives and gives you this item, then that grants you access to, like, I know it's not called the Secret Garden, but it's something like, it's something like that, and that is the hidden level where the real boss is.
Holy shit. This is like you telling me that General Leo is a playable character in Final Fantasy VI.
He is.
Okay, that's debatable. Not by design.
Yeah, not by design. By horrible programming.
Or it's like you telling me that, but it's actually more like you telling me that, hey, there's a way you can save Aeris in Final Fantasy VII.
Which I know no way to do that even through glitches, so.
I cannot believe this.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you said you didn't know about this going through?
No, she died on my first playthrough.
Yeah, me too. And that's where all my feels came from.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking to see because you can't do anything. You have to walk out of that room.
Yeah.
And she's just laying there passed out in the, you know, dead in the floor, and you see the wall shut behind you. That's it. She's gone. But if you don't get that damn jetpack.
Have you gone back and played since you played it the first time?
No. I just wanted to know if there was a way, and I saw all this shit. Like, I thought I may eventually go back because I'd like to play that secret level.
Well, yeah, you're making me want to go back. I want to fight the real boss.
The real boss. All right, so the cave store lore, there were these two siblings.
Mm-hmm.
You find one of them. In the quest line, eventually, as you try to get closer to the core to fight the doctor, you find this old lady in a hut who asks you to find her dogs.
Right, I remember her.
Well, she's Misery's mother, so she's a more powerful witch. But her brother, who's more powerful than she is, cursed her and confined her to her hut. And then her brother made the demon crown. And by making the demon crown, it seals him in the island. And the doctor is tapping his power. So the secret level at the end is you going deeper into the island and fighting him.
The guy who made the crown?
Yeah, fighting the original evil.
Banished Misery's mother?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. So you don't even fight the doctor at all then if you go that route?
No, you fight, I believe you still have to fight. It's after you fight the doctor that you can go. I know that messes up the ending a little bit,
uh-huh.
But I think you have to do a regular clear and then go to the Secret Garden. I could be wrong.
Okay. So this game has multiple endings then. I knew it had at least two, but now you're telling me that there's an ending that involves Curly.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly another ending that involves...
the real boss, maybe.
Because I know, I was amazed, the first ending I got was the bad ending, which I thought was hilarious. And I was so glad that it was in the game.
I think I got the good ending, so you tell me what the bad ending was.
Okay. You know Sue's brother? I can't remember his name. He's got it's like a Japanese name.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall it?
It's like Matt. He's the one you hear the transmissions from. It's like Masergi or something like that.
Starts with an M.
Yeah.
we're experts. So it involves him because he wants to give up. Because you go through this process to, you build like a plane. Is it a plane?
Okay, that's kind of like a launch pad that can get you through all the doctor's security.
Yeah, and you build a means to get off of the island, the floating island. And what happens is you go back and talk to him at some point. It's after Sue is kidnapped, and you go back and he says something like, "I've got everything ready. Are you ready to leave?" Did this happen to you?
I didn't even see this option.
Yeah, if you go talk to him after you assemble the craft, he will just straight up say, "Everything's ready to go. Do you want to leave?" And I was like, "Yes." You get it's yes or no. Yes. And you fucking take off. Just you and him.
I can see where that's a really bad ending.
And it is just like the most hollow, like cowardly ending. Like you get, God. I feel like you get chastised in the ending credits, you know, but it's been a while, so I can't remember for sure. But yeah, that's an ending. Just you and him take off.
So we
can leave everyone behind.
Suikoden and 2 does that as well.
Yeah.
Where you can get, there are a few endings, and one of them is an ending halfway through the game where when you're about to join the big military campaign and a guy's like, "This is going to change you. Are you sure you want to do this?" You can say no, and you and your sister just move into a cabin in the woods. and the game ends right there.
Credits.
Yeah, that's it. It just shows like you two like chopping wood and living in this cabin, and the army just like went on by itself.
I need to play Suikoden 2. I need to finish Suikoden 1, but those dragons that sound like elephants.
I can understand.
Just ruined it for me.
Although it helps to play Suikoden 1, but Suikoden 2 is, you don't have to, and it's fantastic. I think Suikoden 2 is the best one of the series. Yeah. But Cave Story.
Yeah, speaking of.
Because I want to talk about all the mechanics, because okay. there's no level up system in the game, like for your personal levels.
Right, the characters, your character doesn't level up.
Yeah, you have to find health capsules that raise your max health, and otherwise you find guns, and your guns will level up and cap out at level 3.
Right. But you kill enemies, they drop shit, you pick the shit up, it makes your gun better.
But if you get hit, you lose those things. The more you get hit, the weaker your gun gets.
Right.
So it's an interesting system.
It's a really cool mechanic, I think, because mm-hmm. it not only rewards you killing enemies, but it also forces you to not steamroll through things. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when faced with an obstacle, I would try to come up with ways to actually get through it while taking the least amount of damage. Not because I'm worried about my health, but because I want my gun to be in tip-top shape.
Because you need it for a lot of bosses, and your gun's like, between a level 2 and a level 3 is pretty dramatic mm-hmm. for most weapons.
Yeah, because it's not just more damage. Like a level 3 weapon or level 3 gun does more damage than a level 2, but it also has different properties.
It'd be faster, it'll have more spread.
Right.
Or like, I know, because you could only shoot in front of you or behind you.
Right.
You can only shoot horizontally.
Right.
So with your Polar Star, with most guns, then there are a few that, like the fireball weapon, rolls down hills and things like that. So you have to constantly kind of switch up weapons, and like the missile launcher will go through barriers.
Right.
And that's limited ammunition.
I like
a few weapons have limited.
Did you get the bubble gun?
I did. It's interesting. You like that. I didn't like the bubble.
Oh, really?
It's called the bubbler. I didn't like the bubbler at all.
I love the bubbler. Like at max level, I thought it was great because like you said, you can't really shoot up. You can only shoot whichever direction you're facing. So I liked it because it allowed me to hit things that are up above.
Mm-hmm.
But
because here are all the weapons.
Okay.
Because there's the Polar Star, which is your first one, which mm-hmm. is the shabby gun that you get at first.
That you steal from the
that
house.
You steal from this man's house. The machine gun, which is Curly's, which right. you have the option. If you don't get that, you keep the Polar Star, which is essential for you to unlocking future weapons.
Okay.
Because then you have the snake. The snake is if you... There's
I don't remember the snake.
Another race of like bug people that live on the island. You find their laboratory.
Yeah.
And if you give the Polar Star and the fireball, which is another weapon, he'll give you the snake in return.
Okay.
Which sort of combines the properties of the two of those guns.
Okay.
Which it's very good. It goes through all barriers. Hmm. It doesn't destroy them, but it just passes through walls and stuff for you to fight enemies.
That's cool.
There's the spur, which is the best weapon in the game that requires saving Curly, so I didn't get that. The missile launcher and the super missile launcher.
Right.
Which are, apparently you can skip getting the missile launcher and get the missile launcher 2, Or you, well, you don't get the missile launcher 2. You just get missile launcher 1, but with a ton more ammunition.
I see.
Like 100 missiles or something like that.
Wow.
But of course, it's not nearly as powerful. But there's the fireball weapon that rolls down hills, the bubbler, the blade, which the blade was probably my favorite weapon in the game.
Yeah.
Because you get that from another one, Mamiga, that dies.
Oh my God. That was another heartbreaking moment.
Because he's their last remaining hero.
He's the mayor, right?
Mm-hmm. After Arthur dies, he's the mayor.
Yeah. And he is, you can tell, it's just, it's amazing that, and maybe it has to do with, I grew up on games like this, so it was real easy for me to connect with these characters. Because they're very, the game is very, I don't want to make it sound like a negative thing, because it's not. The game plays on tropes heavily.
Mm-hmm.
But it does it in a way that it makes it feel original. Does that make sense?
Well, playing, not just devolving into them, but playing into them is a different thing.
Right. Then that's a good distinction. You're right. Because it doesn't just rely on tropes. It really just takes advantage of years and years of pre-established lore and storytelling to really drive home some emotion in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. And another weapon I didn't get, the last weapon, is the Nemesis.
Yeah.
Which, it works reverse from all the other guns. It's strongest at level 1.
It summons a big, strong zombie to throw cars.
Well, it does looks like a ghost when I looked it up.
Yeah.
And then like the second level, like a little spirit. And the third level, which is the weakest weapon in the game, it's weaker than the level 1 Polar Star, shoots rubber ducks.
Okay. So I like that.
I'm not sure how you get the Nemesis. Probably, I'm sure that's another curly ending thing. But yeah. You have to not level it up for it to be powerful.
I'm gonna have to play this game again, I'm thinking. So it sounds like,
I mean, it'd be a 1-2 day playthrough for you. Yeah. So it'd be worthwhile. But yeah, and you play through, and eventually you reassemble that team. Some people don't make it, some people do. You fight, they build you a platform where you go through, and you have to fight tons of the mutated Mamiga.
Right.
The hulked out ones.
The red flower.
Mm-hmm. Because the doctor is able to distill red flowers into being even more powerful. And then once you get to the end, you fight Misery. And then the doctor has his crown on. He takes the red essence, he calls it, from distilled red flowers. And he hulks out. And then the red essence is so powerful that he's able to tap into the original boss's power. And that's when his form gets very strange. And you fight him again. And
this isn't even his final form.
Yeah, not even his final form. But then, yeah, you beat him and escape the island, and it's great. It's great all around.
And he also makes you fight Sue, doesn't he?
Yeah, Sue and Misery. He resurrects Misery,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to fight like a twisted Sue and Misery that are helping him out in his final form.
Mm-hmm. That was another thing that I, for some reason, this game just like connected with me, because I was so mad at him when he made you fight Sue.
Because Sue's human, but it's turned into Mamiga because of the island's influence when they get there and start fucking with stuff.
This entire time, not the entire time, but the good bulk of the game, you're looking for her. You're trying to get her back. And then you finally get her back, and you have to fight her.
Yep.
He forces it, you know.
To think, out of the five, like, the doctor, of course, turns evil. He was a bad guy. He was a nice guy before, but when he puts on the demon crown, it really turns him evil.
Right. This is of the five researchers.
Of the five researchers. Then two of them become Mamiga from coming to the island. Sue and Itoi, who is the coward that he just ran and hid as soon as everything happened. And then her brother and
the guy whose name starts with M that we can't remember.
And then I think her mother.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So that's your team. And then it appears that long ago, humans tried to take whatever was there at this floating island, and the Mamiga ate red flowers to repel the humans. You were a part of the military robot force that was sent down to help the humans, and you guys killed a ton of Mamiga and then got buried in the island.
Right.
Deactivated. You and Curly both, and then you helped them out in the end.
It's a heartwarming tale.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And I guess there are dragon's eggs on the island. You have to help hatch dragons, and the doctor's also trying to corrupt dragons. He has a storage facility where he's messing with them. And
that's what it is. That's not the whole time I was thinking the craft to get off the island. It's a dragon. It's a dragon, yeah.
There's a helicopter and a dragon to help you get off the island.
Hmm. Yep, obviously I need to play this again because I missed a lot. I missed a lot, but I enjoyed what
you,
I played.
There's no way you would know about any of that stuff unless you'd seen it on a FAQ.
But see, and that's appealing to me as well because that's very old school. That's very like, who the hell would know of all the warps in Super Mario Brothers?
That's true.
You know what I mean? Unless you've seen someone do it or you're like me and your mom bought you the $2 paperback book that's 100 Nintendo tricks.
Or you call Nintendo Powerline like I used to do.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't have much else to say about it besides play this game.
Yeah.
It's free. It just costs your time and it's worth it.
It is worth it. It really is.
And it's for Windows, Mac, and Linux. So whatever, and Wii, and DS, and 3DS.
Yeah, if you want to be a sucker and pay $12 for it, be our guest. I would say it's worth it, though. If you've got no other means of playing it. If I had no other means of playing it, I would say it would be worth the $12 to play it on the Wii.
With all the secrets, if you went through 100% completion, yeah, it's definitely worth that.
I thought of another special episode we said we were going to do.
What's that?
And it is because of Cave Story and because you said WiiWare that it reminded me. Want to take a guess? We played it for a little bit.
No clue. You got me.
I'm making you guess because I can't remember the name of the damn game.
Or describe it to me. We'll see if we can figure it out live on the air.
Indiana Jones meets 16-bit side scroll.
Oh, La Mulana.
La Mulana.
Yeah. Right. La Mulana was... I think it kicked our asses a little bit. Like, we ran and hid playing La Mulana.
Yeah. So...
Which, yeah, it definitely... It reminds me a little bit of Cave Story with the platforming element and things like that. And it's very, very smooth, runs well, no... weird, like, jumping mechanic or anything. It's just...
Also very Japanese. Yeah. Not so much in the style, but... Not so much in the art style, I mean, but just playing it, play style, you can tell.
Yeah.
And dialogue, and it's very quirky.
And it's very funny and quirky. Yeah. And it's one of the more hardcore games that I've played in a while. It is hardcore difficult.
Yeah. A lot harder than... Cave Story.
Yeah, Cave Story wasn't... It had a few elements that you might have to try a few times, but it's not very difficult.
Yeah. If you get the lame ending like I did, it's not difficult at all.
But I got some ratings for this, unless you have more comments.
No, I don't. Hey, you want to give it a beard?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Hey, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I know this is not a regular episode.
Mm-mm.
It's a special episode. It's
a pretty damn special episode.
But... However, I see the look in your eye,
mm-hmm.
the need. You have the need to beard.
I do. It deserves it.
Okay. If you were to give Cave Story a beard, a subterranean face mask, what would it be?
I would not give it just one, but four. This game gets four Cowboy Bebop jet black beards.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's how much I liked it.
Why four?
That's a good number, and they're black beards.
Some would say it's the best number.
Some would say it's the best number, but you could say it's. I mean, jet black doesn't have a red beard. I can't really give red jet black beards, so right. I just gotta up the quantity of beards.
Okay,
so four Cowboy Bebop jet black beards.
That's pretty good. That's
pretty good.
That's really good.
It's one of the better beard ratings I've given.
Yeah, it is. Okay, I'm gonna bring it back down.
All right. Let's get serious.
That's good. That's some good beards.
It's a good beard.
I don't know. What do you think? Glasses?
We'll keep going.
Glasses?
Oh, yeah.
You want to?
Yeah, I do.
All right. If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, we're talking about Cave Story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you want to give Cave Story a pair of glasses, what would that be?
It gets one, okay. Just one, but this is a very unique set of glasses.
Okay.
I'm giving it Cyclops' Ruby Quartz visor.
Damn, I was... Damn.
Yeah.
Now what are you going to do for X-Men Mutant Apocalypse?
Gotta figure something else out. I hope I'd like it that much. Maybe I won't like Mutant Apocalypse enough to earn the Cyclops optic visor.
You'll like it. You'll like it.
Well, I like it this much, as much as Cave Story.
Oh, damn. That's a hard question. I like it as much as Cave Story, but I played it when I was a kid. Mm. So
we'll see how much both of us like it when we get there.
Oh, I still love it. This is... All right, everyone tuning in the special episode, they get a little preview for X-Men Mutant Apocalypse. I like that game so much that I probably play it at least once every 2 years.
Mm, okay.
It is the best X-Men game. Mm. It is the best X-Men game. I defy you to, when you play it, when we're done, I'm going to say, Tyler, have you ever played an X-Men game that good?
A just X-Men game, not a combination of X-Men and other forces, just X-Men.
Just X-Men, but I would say, as much as I enjoyed Children of the Atom, mm-hmm. the fighter, I still think this is a better game, Mutant Apocalypse.
What about the X-Men for Game Gear? That horrible, horrible game.
Man, I don't think I ever played it.
Oh, I tried playing that so often. It was so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it just in sheer difficulty, because it was just, oh man, that game was so hard.
Yeah, I never played it. I know the one on Genesis was...
It put the Genesis one to shame for difficulty.
Yeah.
And I had a rough time with the Genesis version.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I ever beat Apocalypse on the Genesis version.
No, I don't even think I got that far on the Genesis version. The Super Nintendo version is not that difficult. It's a Capcom game, and it's... You're going to like it. You're going to like it.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, don't worry. Yeah. It's better than the arcade game.
We could do more special episodes where you look at other games by those other X-Men games that aren't anywhere on the list, like the Game Gear one
and the Genesis X-Men one. Series?
Yeah. Briefly well, talk about all the X-Men games.
I tell you what, here's what we'll do. We'll keep this a running theme. For every special episode we do, we'll dedicate the last half to an X-Men game. The first half will be about something completely different. And then for at least 15 to 20 minutes, we'll just talk about an X-Men game.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss the next episode.
The next real episode. It'll be better than this.
So I guess the next episode for us will be... What's the next one that's coming out?
Super Tennis.
Well, no. Stunt Racer FX comes out next, but by the time you get this, that will have came out, so Maximum Carnage is the one after this. So our next episode is Spider-Man and Venom, Maximum Carnage.
Spider-Man and Venom, colon.
Colon, Maximum Carnage.
And then it's Super Tennis.
And then, yeah, then it is Super Tennis.
I'm really looking forward to Super Tennis.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you can tell.
I went out and found that at a flea market last week for $5.
And I think that's going to make... the difference. I think it's good. I've been watching some gameplay videos. You think I'm joking, but I'm not. I've been watching some gameplay videos of Super Tennis. I'm really excited about this game. I'm going to go ahead and call it. Super Tennis is going to be the next Super Bomberman 2 for us.
Those are big words.
We're going to play it and we're going to love it.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out there.
All right. And while you're at iTunes, don't forget to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. And why not write a review?
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know.
We're not going to give any shout-outs. Right? Normally, I would give shout-outs right now, right. But we'll run out of shout-outs pretty quickly for the next show. So thanks, people.
Can I tell them something, Tyler?
Please, you should.
Can I tell our listeners something?
Yeah.
I'd like to.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not, Tyler, but we set up a phone number.
Yes, or you set up a phone number. I was like, yeah, let's set up this phone number.
Give yourself some credit.
I composed the theme for the voicemail.
You did. Unfortunately, Google Voice only allows you to leave a 3-second message.
Yep.
So I feel like we landed on a pretty good one, though.
Yeah, I think all the audience will appreciate it.
So give us a call. Let us know anything you want. We want to hear what you're thinking. It can be about games. It cannot be about games. I don't really give a shit. I just want you to call, and we may play your message on the show.
Or run through Google Translator, and we'll just read what Google Translator thinks of it.
Because that is hilarious. We've got some experience with that. So give us a call at... I give you a minute. Get your pen. Find your pen. Mm. Got it? No.
That's a pencil. That'll rub out. Get a pen.
Specifically said.
Something you can write into your skin.
You think you give explicit instructions to get a pen. You think so. Okay, you're back. Yeah.
Don't type it on your computer. Get a pen. Micah, get a pen.
Fine. We'll fucking wait.
Okay.
We good? All right. Here's the number. It's 270-883-2555. Give us a call. Just leave a message. There's a site on the internet, you might have heard of it. It's called Facebook, and we have a page on it. Mm-hmm. It's free. I don't know how this works, but Maybe it's like we're getting free cable. Let's just, if we can not mention to Facebook that we have a free page, that would be great.
Or like if you're flipping through your TV and you find one of the porn channels come through, you get free porn.
Right.
You never turn off free
like
porn.
Like that episode of Friends.
Yeah. That's what I'm glad you see that episode of Friends where I was going. You can put that in the show notes.
I will. That's the second Friends references show. I don't know how I feel about that.
And we'll get a full boy. Earthbound, Chrono Trigger.
I feel better. Star
there
Fox.
There you go.
So, yeah, we're on Facebook, and you can check us out there. You can also go to tadpog.com. That is where all these show notes go that we keep referencing. You can find them there on the site. One more thing that's really important. The wonderful intro and outro music that you hear is a song called Moves, and it's by Sycamore Drive. A link to that track can actually be found on the show notes at tadpog.com. I just like staring at you.
I like staring at you.
Oh.
Yeah.